Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Bible says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Everybody say dead?
Dead.
Dead's not good. Can I get a witness on that? You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Can I get a witness on that? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, we come for you to you this morning, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would give us new direction, new hope, new purpose, and that you would glorify yourself, Lord. We give you praise this morning, knowing that you are mighty. Thank you for the protection of our children. Thank you for the protection of our loved ones, Lord, that you would meet us in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 JJ, would you slide Mr. Knoll's slide down so it doesn't buzz, please? Challenges. Who had challenges this week? Who had blessings this week? Who had blessings come out of the challenges? It's kind of how they work. I had some challenges. Mike and I have been working hard. George and Angelo have been working hard. We've had other guys coming in and out. We are redoing the kitchen. Have you guys seen the new kitchen or the expansion? Do you like it? I hope you like it because we're not going to take it down. But we've been working hard, and one of the primary things we're doing, putting in a convection oven. And in its majesty, I might say in its aged majesty, is now in place, and we finished it, and we didn't know how to use it. And so it was Thursday. And we got it in place, got it all fixed, had to get a new fan, had to do some stuff. And so finally it's in place, and we're going, okay, how do we work it? And how does it work, and is it going to work? And so I'm asking George, what do we got to cook? He said, we don't have anything to cook because the freezer broke last week. And so talking about it, I said, you know what? I'm going to go down to Food for Less and see if they got any corn dogs or anything that they're going to give us tomorrow. I'll get them from Pam, and I'll bring them back, and we'll just cook them up. And we'll just give them to whoever comes by because we've got to just test this thing and see if it works before we start banking on it. So I go down to Pam, and she is there. I go, hey, Pam, I got to get some stuff. How long are you working for? She goes, I'm almost out of here, 20 minutes. I said, I only need 5 minutes, you know. And she says, okay. And I said, I got to get something. We got to check out our new oven. You know, I'm all excited and running, trying to get back to George so we can cook it. We got some kids coming. And so I get in the fridge. She goes, you know, she comes back in there in a minute. She goes, there might not be anything here because I had somebody scan it all out and throw it away. And I'm like, oh, and then there's this thing right on top. It's full of pizza pockets right on top of my pile. I'm going, this is it right here. This is what I need. She goes, I don't know if it's been scanned. I said, oh, man, we got to cook something. I go, what about the meat? The meat's all scanned because we pick up the meat anyway. She goes, you know what? This seems kind of fishy. I'm standing in the freezer, you know, and it's hot. And it's like minus 25 degrees. And I'm like, fishy? I go, I got an oven, man. We're going to cook it. I got kids showing up in 35 minutes, 45 minutes. All right, she says, yeah, this seems fishy. And I start to get a little bit offended. I go, fishy? I go, what's fishy? And she starts going, this seems fishy to me. And I'm looking at all the food and all the stuff that we got going on. I'm like, whatever. I go, I got to get some food to test this oven. I'm going to go buy some corn dogs. I got some stuff right here you're going to give to me tomorrow. I'll go get the corn dogs. So I go get the corn dogs, and I go, you know, I'm gonna show her I'm getting the corn dogs. And she's there talking to somebody saying, yeah, he's in here. It's not his right time. It's not his right place and all this stuff. I'm like, look, getting the corn dog, man. Right here, just what I'm saying. I said, look, you could, I go, Pam, have I ever lied to you? You're always going to be able to believe what I tell you because I'm never going to lie to you. So I leave, and Lisa's mom and Lisa's sister are there, and they're having a good old time. And I'll tell you what, the Spirit is just on me. I am just heavy, you know, and I'm just like, whew. And all night. I mean, this is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all night. I'm just like heavy, heavy with this. And I'm praying, and I go, I'm going to talk, because I know the manager's a nice guy, Kai. And I go, I'm going to talk to him. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord just on me, you know, and I'm writing out what I'm going to say to him. I want to talk to him. I'm writing out. Lisa says, yeah, as you're writing this out. And they even prayed for me, her and her mom and her sister. So I go, because I couldn't talk to him the previous day because he was off. So this is Thursday. Friday morning, I go in at 8:30, went to Home Depot, got some wood and all that stuff. He's already had a meeting about it. And he looks at me, and I said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? He goes, just let me deal with the customer. And I said, hey, I got crosswise with Pam yesterday. And I'm talking and talking and talking, and she said, this seems fishy. I said, you know, I preach 50 weeks of the year. I've been doing food for 20 years. I've never been called fishy. And he starts backpedaling a little bit and starts saying, she's my security in the back, and she's just repping for the store and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay. And then he starts saying, yeah, you know, I don't really like doing these programs because when I first started, I'm putting out my marked bread. This lady walks out and says, why should I buy it here for a buck when I can buy it down at the beauty store for 25 cents? Because they were coming and picking up the stales and then selling it. And I'm like, wow, this is really going south. And so I said, hey, I'm for real. We're feeding kids. We're doing stuff. And I come back and take a picture of the stove or the oven, right? Take photocopies of all the sign-in sheets. He's fed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 157 kids. Put a business card on it, and I made one for Pam and one for him. And I'm telling you, the Lord is just on me, you know? And I'm upset with Pam. And I'm praying, and the Lord says, go apologize to Pam. And I'm like, apologize? I mean, I got all this stuff lit up to show that I'm right. And he says, you go apologize to Pam. I said, Lord, that's just not natural. Lord wants us to be more than natural. Title of the message today is More Natural. As we we're still rolling through this stuff. I talked to Pam. I was talking to Pam, and she said, well, Kai hasn't talked to me yet. I just didn't feel comfortable with the whole thing. I said, I'm sorry about that. And I said, I thought you were my friend. And she says, what? She goes, what did you say? And I said, I thought you were my friend. I go, I talk to you like a friend. You talk to me like a friend. I thought we're good. I come talk to you as a friend. And it totally caused her to stumble. But it's still working out, so you can pray on that. We do pass out a lot of food to the neighborhood. It does have great impact. So I'm trusting the Lord's going to work that out. Our series, Working the Word. Life of the Lord does not come naturally. Amen? Have you found that to be true? Maybe you've saw this movie, The Natural. Who's seen this movie? Put your hand. Who has not seen The Natural? Really? Aaron Bugs, you never saw The Natural? Oh, man. Line through the movie, Robert Redford, as just a natural baseball player, he says, I want to be known as the greatest player who ever played the game. And he comes back. He got derailed due to moral failure in his life as he was a kid going back to enter into the majors. And he comes back, you know, I don't know, 35 years old. I don't know how old he is there. But he comes back as an old man, and he's a natural, and he hits, and he plays, and all that stuff. But he's still got the moral failure. I mean, he's the greatest player on the field, but his life is an utter mess. As we work the Word, the Lord would have us move out of the natural and into the supernatural. Amen? Amen. Today, the Lions and the Chargers are going to be playing. Anybody going to watch that game? 1 o'clock, get done in time. We might be 15 minutes late picking you up to go to the beach potluck today because the game will be over, okay? So we'll say 4:15. But Lions are going to be playing, Chargers are going to be playing. It's here, right, San Diego? And you know what? There's going to be some natural talent, but all those guys have been working real hard, both teams. Nobody's going to be out there just running on natural. They're going to be working real hard out there on the field, and they're going to be working with skills that they worked very hard to develop. Are you tracking with me on this? Because, see, as you work the Word, it's not going to just come natural. In fact, as you work the Word, the Lord is going to move you from the natural into the supernatural. Amen? This is what our whole series is going to be on, moving into the supernatural. Moving into the blessed life, the full life, finding that fullness that God would give us. Everybody wants to get ahead, right? Nobody's making choices thinking, how can I mess up my life, right? And even in the movies, you know, these guys making these short-term choices that looks like it's going to propel them into a great return, and it just never works out. You know, and we have messed up lives because we have messed up choices. Amen? And Pastor Paul talked about where we came from and what was the pattern of our lives. And the Apostle Paul had said, yeah, man, I consider my past deeds as dung, as garbage, compared to the new wisdom and the new way of living that I have. And as we work the Word, and as we start to work the Word, we will get wisdom that will help us to make choices that will take us ahead in our lives. It'll take us out of our garage sales and into a prayer meeting. Amen? God wants us to have more than natural. He wants to have supernatural, and He gives us the vehicle to get that done. I don't know how much time you spent in your book this week. God gives us tools to be able to work the Word. I got the reading sheets right here. You can use that to equip you. It will train you. It will give you stuff that you can do every day and work the Word. Amen? God wants you to live a life of victory. God wants you to live a life of fullness. And you will find that as you work the Word. My question for you is, what are you working? What'd you work this week? Aaron said, I was working my swap meet. And that's okay, but you got to have priorities. You got to make sure that the Lord is first. The tithe, right? Talk about the tithe. God says, I want the first 10. What you do with the other 90, I want you to be smart with it. I want you to make good choices with it. But realistically, if you're smart, make good choices. I don't care what you do with the other 90. But if you bring the first 10 into the storehouse, things are going to be better for you, and things will be better for the household of God. Amen? So he says, let's set up some priorities. Your priorities will be helped if you are working the Word. Our country, ask ourselves, what are the priorities? Things are messed up. Can I get a witness on that? We got gay marriage, we got abortion on demand, and we got murder rates that are skyrocketing in our population centers. It is a display of the choices that are being made. Amen? Messed up choices lead to a messed up life. Our choices reflect our values. And natural choices won't get you where you want to go. Just leave you wandering. Work in the Word. Title of today's message is More Than Natural. Amen? Amen? You know, Pastor Paul, it is blazing up here. But I don't know why I don't sweat on my forehead. Here we go. All right. Worked by the world. Worked by the world. And we come to the Lord. We are indeed members of the culture of this world. Our values are displayed. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world. And I want to let you know, starting off, that dying is not much of a living. Can I get a witness on that? He said, can I get a witness on that, please? Amen. I thought that was kind of cool little rhymey kind of thing. Dying's not much of a living. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Thank you very much, yes. It's a literary tool you're using there, Pastor Bob. It's like, whoa, okay, here we go. When you're dead, you got a need in your life. The need you got in your life is life. You start off dead, and everywhere you go, you're looking for life. Death will leave you hungry, amen? This does not come as a surprise to the Lord. Genesis 6, 5, way back in the beginning. Genesis 6, before the flood. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, that his every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. It's how we were born. We were born indeed dead. They think it was going to work. No one makes choices because it thinks he's going to kill them. No one's going to make choices because they think they're going to end up in jail. No one makes choices because they think, no one goes skiing because they think they're going to break their leg. Can I get a witness on that? Everybody's looking ahead in life and looking for how they can find that victory. Even self-destructive choices are made with the intent of benefit in the short run. I could make something I know is not going to work out for, but I just, young lady thinking, man, I'm going to go out and somebody's going to buy me drinks tonight. End up home, pregnant and alone. Young man says, you know what, I'm going to get me a free buffet, get me some free drinks, and losing his whole paycheck, Saquon Casino. Heard of that, right? Might be you, might not be you. But these are just a couple examples. You can insert your fail there. You know, what is your fail? Where is your poor choice? Many of us sit in this room with a history of poor choices and finding that better choices are available. Can I get a witness on that? Dying is not much of a living. Amen. See, our choices come from death, and they bring death. And it's a vicious cycle, and there's no way out. Let's keep going. When you followed, I'll start the whole thing. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You got help to fail. It's not just you that's making them dumb choices. There is a spirit of this world that will guide you into failure. Have you? It's like, man, I lose all the time. It's like he's just pushing you into that failure. Ruler of the kingdom of the air. Satan means adversary.
Right.
Now think about it. Satan, adversary. Whose adversary? Your adversary. Devil means slanderer or accuser. He lies on you. John writes, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He is talking about the accuser. He is talking about the deceiver. He is talking about the kingdom of the air, the ruler of this world, and he comes to kill and destroy you, and he leads you into failure. He's very effective. Look what happens in this country. Talked about it a minute ago. Abortion on demand, gay marriage, all kinds of stuff. It's a messed up system. 1 Peter 5:8, watch out, be self-controlled, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The lies that come forth in the name of God, not our Lord. But you see the radical jihadists who rape and kill. Big overflow coming? Oh, is that it? Just a bunch of coolness over there? Hey, I'm burning up. I'm not sweating on my head. All right. Jihadists, right? Raping and killing in the name of Allah. Saying we got to kill these Christians. Allah's going to be happy with me. Is that such a great lie by the kingdom of this, by the ruler of the kingdom of the air? Man, how great to get people off track, thinking they're doing good, thinking they're doing right by God, thinking they're on line to heaven. And it's all a deception. His great desire is to get you off track with God. Tell you that little lie. Go ahead. It's no big deal. You know, God loves you. He's probably going to bring you a couple of extra customers to your little garage sale between 5 and 6 o'clock because he loves you so much. He won't care. And then it comes 6:05, and the devil is right there saying, oh, missed prayer meeting, I'm going to tell God on you. And he takes both sides of the lie. And then what happens? You end up in conviction, opening church, going, I feel so bad. But that's what you're supposed to say, because that'll lead you to victory. Amen? That ain't easy to do. That's a God thing. Amen. God will take God. You know, this deal with Iran that we're working really makes no sense. I mean, I have not seen, if you don't know about the deal we're making, it's a treaty that we're making with Iran. It's not really even, they called it a treaty because they vote on it differently in the Senate. And so they called it something else. But I just want to let you know that Iran, they're the bad guys. Now, as far as, you know, with the Lord's doing a work there, he's revealing himself to many people there. There's a movement of evangelists that's coming as the Lord reveals himself to these lost jihadis and Persians and all the rest. But as far as the United States is concerned, when people are shouting death to America and calling us the great Satan, those who qualify as the bad guy. Can I get a witness on that? And what has been happening over the past years is we've had these economic sanctions in which nobody's doing any trade and nobody's buying their oil or not supposed to, and choking Iran down to where they can't buy anything and all their motors and engines are breaking and all that kind of stuff because they can't get parts and they can't get money. They can't do anything. And so they come to the negotiation table and then they work this deal that, I mean, we can't even inspect them, and they're going to volunteer. It's just a crazy deal, and we're giving them $100 million. And they're already shopping for missiles with the Russians. What are you doing, man? You're making deals with the enemy. And the deal is the Russians and the Chinese, they got no problem with the Iranians. They just want to get the oil, and they want to get the cash, want to do sales, do all that kind of stuff. And so our government says, well, if we don't join Russia and China, we're going to be all alone. We're going to look like fools. We're going to look weak. Sometimes you got to stand alone for truth. Amen? So anyway, when you're moving in the natural, you ain't getting anywhere. Just kind of wandering around. All right, let's keep going. We can be in a battle that we really don't want to win. I'm talking about a battle with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. All of us, all.
All.
All means all. Like everybody in this room, that means all. You know, if you're breathing, that means you. All. All of us also lived among them, the disobedient ones, at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. The natural life is all about me. Natural life is a life that is focused on satisfying the cravings of the sinful nature. And one thing, you've been a sinner long enough, some of you are young, Karina, young lady. I got saved when I was old. Sin will leave you hungry. A lot of us old folks, oh yeah. You know what sin is like? Sin is like Fritos. Yeah, so we're going, what? I mean, you open them Fritos, and realistically, it can be any kind. Any kind of Frito is good, right? I mean, but them little ones, or even the scoop ones, or even like little bowl ones, you know? And you eat like, what do you eat, like four? And then you go, man, yeah. And then you eat like another four. And you're walking, no, another four, you know? And pretty soon that bag is gone. Can I get a witness on that? You know, and it's so good, and it's so good. And then in like 15 minutes, you're going, man, I'm just sick. Oh, Ed knows. I can hear him laughing over there. But see, now some of you, like Karina maybe, and Amber back there, going, you know what? I can eat Fritos all day long and not get sick. Yet, believe me, us old folks know there's a time coming you can't eat Fritos. Can I get a witness on that? That's like sin, man. It's like for a minute, it's good. But after a while, it just starts tearing you down and it leaves you hungry. And this is the lifestyle that we can all relate to. Because why? Paul says all of us used to live like that. Sin will eat you up and leave you hungry. And you know, that lifestyle, that all about me lifestyle, that selfish lifestyle, you know, the Lord will deliver you from that. But if you're in a relationship with somebody who is like that, who is still dead, who is looking for life, their life is all about me. I mean, you see, the divorce rate's so high. Well, I just kind of fell out of love with that person. Just didn't meet my needs anymore. Well, I'll tell you what. My wife's purpose in life is not to meet my needs. You know what? And my purpose in life is not to meet her needs. My purpose in life, it says from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, is to love God and enjoy Him. That I would be in right relationship with God and that He would fill me up and that overflow would flow into my wife. And that overflow of her from God would flow into my life. And we have this competition of who can bless the other one more. But if you are married to an unsaved person, a dead person who is just looking for life, they're saying, feed me all the time. What about me all the time? It doesn't have to be your spouse. Could be your friend. Feed me. Why? Because it's all about me. Your child. Sorry to say. How old is this child?
A month and 2 weeks.
This child, born dead. I know, it's a terrible thing. But I got to believe Paul. Right? All of us. And that child, did that child ever say, feed me?
He cried.
He hadn't even have the wherewithal to learn our language. Just screams it, feed me. It happens over and over again. And then same words come out, change me. It's all about him. Little kid grows up before learns English. It's all still about me. 6, 8. Till that child gets the Spirit of God in him. Dead person living, looking for life. No matter what relationship you're in, if you're in a relationship with an unsaved person, friend, co-worker, you got co-workers ripping them off, always trying to get over on you for your lunch, stealing your lunch, stealing your time to say, hey, fill me in on this. And they're always what? Feed me. All about me. Like a big old giant bag of Fritos. They're good for a minute, but after a while, they'll just make you sick. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going on this. All right. Val, you don't want to win. Verse 12. 1 Peter 3:12. I'm sorry. Jumping from Ephesians to 1 Peter. And we'll be in 1 Peter again on the next point. Natural life just doesn't work out. Peter tells us, first epistle, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Heard that part before? Yes. I love that part. He says his ears are attentive to, I'll say it, our prayers. Hallelujah. You know, just kind of bank on that promise. Just kind of memorize that verse and stop right there. But let's not stop right there because we can keep on reading. It says, but, everybody say, but. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And that does not sound near as kind. Does it? Say, wait a minute. See, we talk about all of us being born dead, talking about this battle of sin. We can find ourselves battling against God. Amen? Bible tells us that we were enemies of God. We start this thing out. And I want to let you know that this is a situation, you're fighting God. God is always going to win. Amen? All the time? But it's a rather comical battle that we fight because we're fighting against God so that we can die. Believe me, it's not a battle you want to win. Why? Because the wages of sin is? Death, right? So we're battling God. We're going, God, just let me die, just let me die, just let me die. And he's going, well, if you got to. We start off on the losing side. And you know what? God does not have to do much to make us aware of our starting position. Why? Genesis 3. Remember, way back at the beginning, God talking to Adam. He had just ate the fruit. 3:17, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife, I'm not going to talk about that part, you ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. For you to experience death, God has to do nothing. You can just live on this ground and experience the curse of Adam. You will toil in the ground, painful toil. God has to do nothing. You experience death. We got a little experience of death this week. Sometimes my wife criticizes my sermon and my transparency. I did not ask her about this. But we had a little fly infestation this week. And we don't know why. Other than it's, you know, 100 degrees, humid, perfect hatching ground for flies. But in our kitchen, there was just flies. And we're fur flies, man. They were flies, you know, them flies. And so, you know, a great battle against the fly is the fly swatter. And JJ, man, he's like a pro fly swatter now, man. It's like, and we got that thing hung. It's like, you almost get a holster for that thing. And I was like, and, but, you know, you get up in the morning, you know, catch them sleeping, you know, and they're kind of easy to kill. And I get up, you know, make the coffee, and I will kill 10 flies. You know, pray on it, just leave them on the floor, pick them up, be good. And then, you know, make my coffee, come back. There's 10 more. And so it's kind of like, I mean, Flies are nasty, right? You know, and I thought it was a great picture of the curse. Because realistically, God has to do nothing. And we battle against the curse. Fight you don't want to win. But that's really not all that Peter is saying. Because he says that God, the face of the Lord, is against those who do evil. He's not passive. You know, JJ, Lisa's going, where are these flies coming from? I'm freaking out. And JJ looks at the screen door, the front screen door, and there's like an inch gap on the bottom of the screen door. Right there. I'm thinking, I don't think those flies are that smart. Maybe, I don't know. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And it is as if the Lord would sit there outside your door and go, right here, guys. Right here. Of God doing. We don't like to think of God being against us. That's not in my theology. Well, sorry, we got to bend our theology with the Word of God. We got to work the Word, amen? Last month, we were going through Second Chance, and we hit Haggai. And I want to remind you. Let me just read it to you. Give careful thought to this day, from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. This is God speaking to his people through the prophet Haggai. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Dying's not much of a living. Face of God is against those who do evil. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be natural. He wants you to move from natural to supernatural. Amen. So he makes natural distasteful. How'd your week go? Were you working the Word? It gets better now. Here we go. God gives us an alternative. Ephesians chapter 2, 4, and 5. But because of his great love for us, can I get a witness right there? Everybody went, yay, it's back to the fun time. Yes. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. We can be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? God gives us new life. You got to have it. You know, our problem is we get that new life and we start dragging and we keep on dragging a little bit of death around with us. I don't know how much death you got that you're dragging. Had a little garage sale death yesterday. Got to cut that off. Manage it. It's so good, man. I mean, you could drive a truck through that garage door, bro. That is the danger of opening this service or taking the offering or doing whatever else. I often throw Roki under the bus from stuff that he says. It was just so good. I just can't leave. And it's public domain. You said it right up here. I'm just not letting anybody know where it came from. Talk about the shift. Talk about new life. Guided by the Spirit of God. Moving from death to life. Moving from selfishness to selflessness. God gives us love that is turned out, not in. Have you got it? Get into a relationship. How much can I give? How much can I serve? These actions are motivated by the benefit of the other. And sometimes it's challenging, man. Sometimes somebody call you fishy. God says, take that love and turn it out. And then I can work. I can do some stuff for you. Turn it out. He says, do it as a ministry unto me, and we'll work out the details later. New life gives us a new target. Back to 1 Peter, like 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:2, as a result, he does not live as a result of this new life in Christ. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. What'd you do this week? What was your focus? What was your purpose? Did you make the shift? Have you made the shift? The shift that the Holy Spirit would make in your life shifts you from the will of the world into the will of the Lord. And sometimes we struggle. Have a garage sale. Sorry, it'll probably be the last time, bro. Is that you? I wish I had a picture of Aaron right up there. Bam! No. That was really the last time, sorry. So we got this new series, Working the Word. This right here. Change your life. Are you working it? If you're going to work it, you got to know it. Daily reading log. 20 minutes a day to change your life. Yeah, it takes 20 minutes. That's why it's called working the word. It's not just called lounging the word, lounging in the Lord. I just wait all day. I just kind of kick back. I'm catching some rays, got my little things on. I'm lounging in the Lord, and he just gives me his wisdom. That's not what it's called. It's called working the word. I think I got a picture. Look at that. That guy's probably sweating on his forehead right now. Working the word. Are you working the word in your life? What is most important? Pastor Paul opened with, you know, what's the priority? Talked about yesterday. What gets in your way? What gets in between you and the Lord? What keeps you away from the Lord? Radically transformed by the Holy Spirit. Just can't get enough of the Word of God, of the life of God. How can I serve Him more? Is that you? Work in the Word. Focus on that for the rest of this month. And who knows for how much longer than that? You want more of God in your life? Work the Word. Put a focus on it. Daily reading schedules. Get it. Come up. You read that every day, I guarantee you, you have something to do for the Lord. I'm not talking about the 20 minutes. I'm saying you'll get something from him that you can then put a focus on for the rest of the week, rest of the day. You can experience the fullness of God in your life. You can be a source of blessing for God. And you can be a source of blessing to those around you. Work the word. Lisa, you want to come up and play? You're going to work the word. Take time. I mentioned the football game that some of you are aware of that's coming up in an hour and a half. Chargers and the Lions. I probably should have checked the average. I'm just going to say it's going to run 3 hours. Some of you guys might say, I'm not going to potluck tonight because there's a football game tonight. And opening Monday night, there's actually two football games on. And then there's Thursday night football. So, but I know you're not going to miss Sunday morning for football. Although, I do see some empty seats. You know what? You can make a deal with God. You say, God, I'm not going to watch more football. I'm not going to spend any more time watching football than I spend time with you. Now, I'll give you church service time, Bible reading time, prayer time. One of these things we're talking about, war room. I got a little war room prayer thing I've been digging. You say, okay, Lord, I'm going to govern how much time I spend watching football by how much time I spend with you. You got time to work the word. Can I get a witness on that? And I'm thinking right now, Adriana's going, oh yeah, I can make that deal easy. Because I don't know that she's much of a football fan. My wife makes that deal easy. She's not much of a football fan. But she does like Facebook. So you can make that deal with God. Say, God, I want to work your word. I want to be more than natural. So I'm not going to spend more time on Facebook. Now, I think you can do God stuff on Facebook, right? Like, okay.
But you can't count it all as God time.
I mean, but there's a whole lot that's definitely not God time.
Amen.
So, I mean, if you're doing a God thing, that's like doesn't count. But the rest of the time, you could say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to spend any more time on Facebook or surfing the net or YouTube or whatever it is that I spend with you. So, you want to watch 5 football games this week? Go for it. Just put 15 hours with the Lord in. I think the Lord is cool with that. You want to spend 15 hours on Facebook this week? Go for it. Let's put 15 hours in with the Lord. But you start curtailing your time, football, Facebook, you might have something else. You tie it. Garage sailing. You know, I'll tell you, get the word out while you're garage sailing. Free time. But I tell you what, you do that, you make a deal with God. And you say, God, I want to be supernatural. I want to work your word. I want to find fullness in my life. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to have love turned out. Start working the word, and it'll work for you. Amen? Amen. Lord, you're good and mighty and awesome. And some of us are just worried about us all week. What about me? Feed me. More Fritos. I'm going to wait for the worship team to stop so they can listen too. Because sometimes you play and you serve. Your service to the Lord can be more about you than Him. Happens to ministers. Happens to worship leaders. I'll fix that, JJ. Don't sweat that. Oh, yeah. I fixed Ed. You've got to have Ed. There's pastors out there who are preaching for themselves. What's your motivation? Is it all about you? Or is it all about Him? And sometimes we just got to fine tune. Just got a little bit fuzzy. You know, time goes on and things get a little bit lax and need to refocus on the Lord. Get a focus by working the word. Lord, I'll make a deal with you, Lord. I'm going to spend more time with you than I do watching. What's our quarterback's name? Drew Brees? No, what's his name? Phillip Rivers. There we go. There we go. Sorry. Somebody said, which team? Come on now. Raiders, of course. No, I'm joking. Lord, you are mighty and awesome, Lord. We want to make a deal with you that we would be real, sold out, supernatural, that you would be glorified in my existence, Lord. I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. We're going to sing. Hallelujah.